Good God, I just came off an Instagram live, and it's the most nerve-wracking thing in the world. Like, as someone that it lives in fear of public speaking, that's probably the worst. Even though there was only maybe 10 people on it at the start, it sucks. It sucks. Anyway, welcome to the Hiker Podcast. This is your host, your nervous host, Owen Hamilton. One of the biggest topics that comes up on this podcast is mental health, and it's for obvious reasons. Everybody knows the power that the outdoors can have on our mental health. I know myself, I don't think I got into hiking for my mental health reasons. I don't think I use it to cure depression or to elevate my mood or anything like that, but it was probably the main reason why I continued to hike and dove right into it and decided to, you know, make it my job. And many of the guests that we've had on the show have more or less followed the same path. We've had gear companies, we've had mountain leaders, mountain rescue, we've had trail organizations on the podcast, we've had vloggers on the podcast. And each of them talk about the impact that hiking in the outdoors has on their mental health. You might have experienced a situation where you've been out with a friend, out hiking, surrounded by nature, and you just get that feeling that you're able to open up a little bit more, that the invisible barriers of the real world have just dropped and you're really able to open up. Well, my guest on the show this week has really found a way to harness that to help people. Cara Byrne, founder of Hike Psych Ireland, is Ireland's only hiking psychotherapist. She uses the outdoors, she uses the mountains and trails as her clinic. This is, of course, a bit different to my normal interview where we're talking about big true hiking adventures or scaling mountains or building a trail or the business of hiking. But this is close to my heart, and I'm sure it's close to a lot of our listeners' hearts as well. Whether you're impacted by mental health issues or a friend or a family member, I'm sure there's something in this conversation that could help you or could help your loved ones. So I really hope you enjoy this interview. If you are affected or impacted by anything that you hear in this, of course, reach out to Cara. But above all else, talk to your friends, talk to your family. Nothing helps more than talking to someone you trust. So whether you're on the mountain, you're in the forest, or you're in your kitchen, enjoy my interview with Cara Byrne. So Cara, welcome to the show.
Thank
I said
you.
I wasn't going to do that.
You did.
I lied. So
thanks very much.
Do you want to tell our audience who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm Cara Byrne. I'm the owner and the only so far psychotherapist at Hike Psych, which is currently the only hiking psychotherapy practice in Ireland. It is pretty common elsewhere, places with better weather, but I'm the first one doing it here. There are a couple of walk and talk therapists, but they tend to stick to kind of parks and stuff like that. So I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a mother of two kids. I'm an avid hiker, and I decided to combine my love of hiking with my profession and come up with a good solution for not being able to see clients face to face during COVID, and Hike Psych was born. So
this was this a COVID project? Was this something that was born out of that?
Not really. I had been mulling over it for forever because I live in Dublin and I don't have a spare room like most people in Dublin. And I had been working for an amazing organization, My Mind, seeing clients there, but I had always wanted to do my own practice, and the idea of combining hiking just made sense to me. You know, you get so much benefit from being out in the trails. So I had been kind of mulling over it, and I started it just before, actually it was, I think, November 2019. very, just started with, you know, one client just said I'd kind of trial it out and see how it was going. And then COVID hit, and then all of my other work went online. So everybody, we were seeing everybody online, and so many people were saying, is there any way I can see you in person? Is there any way, you know, I don't like Zoom. Or a lot of people were at home and didn't have privacy to talk, or couldn't talk about what they wanted to talk about, because, you know, there's ears listening. And so I started to kind of go, well, you know, maybe I could expand it a little bit. And and really quickly it just took off, to be honest. And now, yeah, I no longer work for My Mind. It's all hikes. Like, it's not all hiking. I have quite a lot of online clients, because people, like, once you're active, people find you from everywhere. I have clients in the States. I have clients from in England, you know, so obviously they can't meet me for a hike. Loads of clients in Cork. Cork, for last week, I had like 3 inquiries from Cork. I was like, what's going on in Cork? So it's a combination of online and hiking, but the hiking is kind of the bit that sets it apart, I guess.
Okay. And I suppose, what countries did you see it happening, or was there anyone in particular that you saw doing it that you drew inspiration from?
No, not at all. Actually, I didn't even really realize it was a thing until I decided to do it myself. And then I kind of Googled hiking psychotherapists and to see what came up, you know, and there was some in the States and stuff like that. But I hadn't, you know, I kind of assumed it probably was a thing.
When I heard about it, because I obviously, through our mutual friend, from Gals Gone Wild, when I heard about that, I was like, that's a brilliant idea. Surely that's a, like, a common thing in Ireland with all the hiking that we do here. Yeah. But
just isn't. I do think the weather plays a big part in that, though. It's, you know, I have had many a very, very wet, very windy hike with clients, which is fine. I'm used to it now. And the clients are used to it. And they always show up. No one has ever cancelled because of the weather, which I just think is amazing.
That's brilliant.
Obviously, I've had to cancel if there's like red weather warnings or you know, yellow weather warnings or whatever. But no, we've had rain coming sideways, and we've had like wind so strong, you're quite literally shouting at each other. But it's I would imagine that has played into why there's not more people doing it here. But I certainly would hope to start adding people to the team and, you know, expanding it a little bit if I can find some other willing hiking therapists around.
I really do hope you do, because you know, a common theme in this show and any other hiking podcast that I listen to, or any kind of hiking related stories or anything like that, or a narrative, mental health plays a big part, and it's one of the main reasons why we did a survey over Christmas. Hiker did a survey to all of our users all around the world. US, the big ones were US, UK, Ireland, and Europe. And the number one reason why people go out and hike is mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just goes to show, like, you know, how that what you're doing is so right on, you know, like, it's the right thing for people to kind of like just have that like safe space and have that like a place to get stuff off their chest, really.
That's it. And I say that to clients all the time. I'm like, no matter how hard the session, and therapy is tough going, you know what I mean? Therapy isn't for the weak, like it's hard work. But no matter how tough the session, you will at the very least feel better for having gotten out and gotten some fresh air. And, you know, even the really hard sessions, you will leave with the benefit of having had some, you know, disconnection from screens, some, you know, some movement, some fresh air. It's it is so good. But I mean, there's masses of research, and I'm not going to be able to quote any of them because I'm useless at remembering dates and people's names and stuff. But there's loads of research on the benefits of being in the outdoors for your mental health. It stops rumination and negative thinking. You can actually see it in neural scans that part of the brain in the prefrontal cortex literally stops reacting as much once people are exposed to nature. So it has benefits. It definitely adds to the therapeutic process. What I've found actually is it's really good for people if you are dealing with a heavy topic. It gives a natural break because it's very easy to go, oh, I look at the view, you know, or a dog will run by, or you'll see deer, there's loads of deer out at the minute, you know. So people feel like if they need to catch their breath, they're not stuck in a small room with a big empty, you know, mm-hmm. with a big long silence or an uncomfortable silence for them. They can use the surroundings to kind of give themselves a natural little break from the heaviness, and, you know, and then redirect if need be. And as well, I think the walking side by side seems to be a big draw to it. There's I have clients who drive an hour and a half for a 50-minute session, turn around and drive back because they do not want to sit in a room staring eye to eye with somebody. That's just not comfortable for them. So I think that plays a big part.
Yeah.
As well.
And where would your studio be then? So do you park up at the Wicklow Mountains and you know, you're there for the day and so you come up and down and next session you go back up again?
Yeah, quite literally, yeah. So I'm at the minute it's really awkward because I have two young kids, so I'm essentially a full-time mum and a part-time therapist. So I'm doing all kind of evenings at the moment, but at this time of year, loads of the Quilshire Forests close early. They close at 5 o'clock, so my yeah. session starts at 6. So I'm stuck to only Tick Knock at the moment. Kilmashogue is open too, but but that's linear. I prefer to have something that you can loop around. And to be fair, Tick Knock has loads of options. Like I have found them all in the process of this. But so it is. It's like up and down. So I would do three in an evening normally. But then from April onwards, then I add in Carrick Logan and Barnaslingen, which are just up the road from me here in Stepside. So
right, okay.
A few options, but it's all about timing with the therapy, because like it's a 50-minute session. I can't leave someone standing in a pitch dark car park waiting for me if I'm late, you know. So and some clients walk faster than others, and some, you know, yeah. some walk slower. So there's a lot of it takes time to kind of work those things out. I suppose that's been a learning curve, but no one's been left waiting in the dark for too long.
That's good to hear.
Thank goodness.
To be head torches.
I know. And with COVID as well, I was having to like sanitize and like baggy them up, you know, so everyone like got their own sanitized head torch, you know. It's like all these things that you just don't think about.
Yeah. It brings a whole new field of psychology. You're going to be writing your book now, your memoirs.
Yeah, therapy in the dark. Yeah.
So that's a good name for a book, actually.
My friend said I was to write a book called Get Out of Your Own Way, but I'm pretty sure apparently I say that to everybody. I'm like, you just need to get out of your own way. But I'm pretty sure this book called that already somewhere.
So. So forgive the pun, but can you walk me through a session? So obviously you have your different types of questions, but
yeah.
Do you start off down like at the car park or like at a low part and kind of set the mood yeah. and then start going through, or what happens?
Yeah, it depends on the client as well. But yeah, we usually meet at the maps or the entrance to the forest, depending on where we're going. And normally, you know, if it's a first session, it's I do a lot of talking on a first session. There's a lot of explaining, you know, kind of how the process works, and which actually at my very first session I had hiked loads of times before. I've hiked probably for maybe 8 years or so, but I normally am walking and taking a breath and nattering to people, and you know, but when when I was doing my first session and I was a little bit nervous about the whole thing, and you know, I was talking so fast that I had to stop halfway up, and I was like, she's just going to give me a second here. She's going to catch me. The client was looking at me like, do you have any idea what you're doing? I was like, I know how to be a therapist. I just haven't figured this hiking therapy thing out. So yeah, I had to stop and catch my breath. But normally the client would be doing most of the talking, so it's fine. So yeah, we like I will pick a route based on clients, sometimes based on weather. You know, if it's very mm-hmm. windy or very rainy, like you want to be going at one where you have a bit more coverage. But yeah, we start walking and we do all the normal things that you would do in a therapy session. So it's all completely dependent on the client themselves and what they need or what they're coming with, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we walk up and we usually stop up at Three Rock, or if that's the forest we're in, and you know, take in the view and sometimes have a mindful moment or so if that works for them. Mm-hmm. Catch our breath and, you know, just stop for a second, which is nice. And then, yeah, start the descent back down and keep talking and keep figuring things out. And yeah, then I've like 5-10 minutes before the next client and I'm back up again. So, but it is lovely, but it is like, it is the same as your standard in the office clinical psychotherapy. It just has the added benefit of movement and fresh air and that reduction in rumination, yeah, and just the more natural way of speaking, like talking and walking side by side, that's way more natural. We're used to that. That feels more comfortable, you know, than sitting opposite someone in a room in what feels like a very kind of clinical sort of a setting. So it's I love it. I gotta say, I do love it. Like it has its challenges, but it's way better. And oh my God, it's way better than Zoom. I'd take it over Zoom any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm like this podcast was a Zoom, or was a COVID project. Okay. And I cannot wait. I've only had one in-person guest, which was Mel.
Oh yeah.
But I cannot wait for the day that I actually get to have in-person, in-studio guests. And hiking guests, you know, like go out for a hike. I've been invited to interview somebody on trail as well. So
I'm
looking forward to hopefully doing that sometime real soon. Have you seen, like, from your career working with My Mind, this might be a difficult question, but like, have you seen improvements in the therapy, the outcomes? Yeah.
I don't know if it would say improvements. What I have noticed is that I get a very different variety of clients. The hike psych seems to really appeal to people with neurodivergency.
Okay.
I'm trained as an autism informed therapist, so quite a number of my clients are on the spectrum, and I think the eye contact thing is a huge part in that. It takes out that whole space of discomfort for them, and it just feels less intimidating, less pressurized, less having to fit into some mold that just doesn't suit them, you know. And so I've noticed that a lot of men who like, and they're usually pretty clear on, I wouldn't do this in you know, in a clinic. I wouldn't go into therapy if it wasn't in this fashion, you know. So I mean, the therapy, I don't know, it's I think it's too hard to say, because it's client by client, you know. It's I would like to say yes, because that would make my business sound amazing. But it's, you know, that wouldn't be honest. Like, it's too hard to say. I think when I hear from clients, especially ones who I've had in person in clinic, I've had them online, and I've had them hiking, they prefer the hiking, you know, and they've tried all sort of three options. They would choose the hiking every time. So that has been something that's been nice to hear, that, you know, when they've tried all the other methods, that's the one they would go back to.
Okay. And you kind of touched on this already, but have you noticed a different type of patients? Have you different types of people that are coming out on these? You mentioned obviously men, more men, but is it more men than you would have dealt with before?
I actually had quite a lot of male clients before, but I do think I get more inquiries from men. Like, the percentage would be higher of men inquiring about hike psych than would have been inquiring for online sessions. Even though my dad hates that. He's like, you're walking around in the dark with strange men. Like, they're not strange men. Yeah. It's just dads. Dads will be dads, you know. So it does seem to be, but I do think I think for people on the spectrum, I do think there is a huge added benefit to that, and that I have seen that with clients. And I've actually sent quite a number of clients to be assessed who came not knowing that they were on the spectrum. As it turned out, they were, but that may have been why this type of therapy had appealed to them in the first place. So that's definitely there's something about this way of practicing that does seem to just add a little extra comfort for people who would find themselves very uncomfortable in certain situations. So
right, okay, yeah, because that's interesting, because My daughter is autistic, and we detected it like very early on in her life. She was less than a year old when we got advice from a professor. But obviously she couldn't be officially diagnosed until she was a bit older.
Yes.
But it seems to be quite common is not the right word, it's happening a lot more regularly that people around our age, mm-hmm. you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s are starting to be diagnosed. And, you know, I suppose how can you pick up on those signs at that age? Is it like, are there telltale signs that you can?
Yeah, there are some. There's ASD in my family as well, so I would be kind of tuned in perhaps more to some of the signals than others. But the training gives you that as well. But you do see repeated patterns, like girls or women are very hard to diagnose if they're on the milder end of the spectrum. But you will get things like severe anxiety, eating disorders comes up a lot for older undiagnosed people with ASD. So yeah, you see the same kind of, like, a couple of the people I've sent it when they say that they struggle with the eye contact, and that's why they're there, that this feels more comfortable, you know, that it kind of twinges for me, and then I will just keep it in mind and see how it progresses. Like, I would never suggest to somebody that they might need to be assessed or whatever unless I was pretty certain. And you know what, anytime I've said it, they've gone, I thought that might be the case, all right, you know. And it's really never been kind of a shock, but they almost wanted just a second opinion, really. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's anxiety seems to figure most predominantly in how it presents in older people. It's just that sense of not feeling 100% understood, you know. And if you're masking mm-hmm. all the time, if you're constantly having this dual dialogue where when people say something, your head tells you to respond in one way and you have to read that and go, is that the way that's going to fit the situation? And if it's not, then what should I say? And then having to say that, like, that's exhausting. That causes a huge amount of anxiety for people who just having a normal conversation with somebody they're in college with, you know, that's really tiring. So you do see a lot of that kind of emotional burnout and anxiety and social anxiety, and just feeling like they're not 100% comfortable and they're not sure where they fit. I find that in clients with ADHD as well, or ADD, and it's, you know, it's nice to be able to kind of give them that space where you go, you know, one, it should be this way everywhere, but that you don't have to be like me to speak with me. I don't have to be like you to speak with you. Let's figure out where we can meet in the middle so we can both understand each other. You know, it's not their job to make me understand them. It's my job to meet them where we can have mutual understanding and figure each other out, you know, and find a way that works for us both. So
yeah,
it's but I do think it's much more common, perhaps, that we're just becoming more aware. I don't know that it's necessarily some change in the makeup of the, you know, the global demographic, but
no, of course.
Certainly I think it's just it's far greater awareness that people have been pretending they've been fine for a long time and now they don't have to pretend. And that's lovely.
Yeah, I think that thankfully the world is become a good bit more aware of it and accepting of it and just creating a world that we could all live in, you know. Obviously there's other things that need to be addressed as well, but thankfully that's the world for people that are on the spectrum.
Yes,
it's becoming more and more of an inclusive world. You mentioned something there as well that I just wanted to sink my teeth into. You mentioned about meeting them somewhere where you both can kind of connect, and I think that's something that I think is really important about what you're doing, is that hiking or walking, or, you know, getting outdoors I say it on this a lot. I think it's a common language. So even if you're not saying anything at all, even if you're out there and you're just walking or you're just hiking or you're both going kind of somewhat in the same direction.
Yeah.
There's a bond, I feel.
Yeah.
So am I right? Would I be right in saying that maybe in some of your sessions you might go 5-6 minutes without saying anything at all? And you're just taking it in.
Yeah, I probably should leave gaps like that. I'm a bit of a yapper, so I tend not to leave such a big gap. But yes, you would have moments where you are just taking it in, especially if you've come on a topic or you've kind of discovered something that is new or that hits a mark for the client, then you can take that time. Yeah, you can walk, you can give it that space, you can be quiet, you can kind of just let them be in the moment for a minute. Actually, the outdoors is really brilliant for tapping into the present as well, because you can't feel the cold air on your skin if you're living in anxiety ridden future, you know, or you can't see a frog jumping across the trail in front of you if you're ruminating about things that have upset you in the past. You know, you kind of have to be present. Actually, I had a client once who we were up there and it was incredibly icy. I mean, literally, it was like ice skating. It was ridiculous. I think we made it about 15 feet in the whole thing. We were just sliding all over the place. But at the end of it, they were like, and they, this person had suffered from severe, like crippling anxiety. And they said that it was one of their favorite sessions because they had to be present for the entire thing, because if they weren't present, they'd have landed on their backside. Yeah. So, you know, the entire session, they were 100% there in the moment. And that is something that they would never experience for that length of time in their day-to-day lives. So nature can provide things in the most unexpected ways. You know, it's a brilliant addition to the process, I find.
Yeah. I want to talk a bit more about you now. So you said you've been hiking for roughly about 8 years.
Yeah.
So how did it all start?
It was a bit of a funny story, actually. One of my dear friends, Mags, said, would you fancy coming on a girls' weekend to Scotland? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Didn't hike at all at this stage, like had never hiked. And she was like, we're booking the flights tonight. Are you sure you want to go? I was like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. That sounds brilliant. She was like, might do a bit of a walk. I was like, yeah, okay, grand. Assuming the walk was like shopping, you know, like strolling around the city. And only about 2 weeks, or no, it wasn't. I think we had booked it maybe 3 months in advance. So about 2 weeks after we'd booked it, I was like, what did you mean when you said a bit of a walk? Like, what's the plan for the weekend? She was like, oh yeah, we're going to climb Ben Nevis. And I was like, one, what is Ben Nevis? two, what? Yeah, so I didn't have walking boots. I had nothing. I had absolutely, literally had never, I think I'd been to the Spink with her once in Glendalough, and that was the extent of my hiking. So in came our friend Mel from Gals Gone Wild, and I ended up on her second and third ever Gals Gone Wild hikes in preparation for Ben Nevis. And wow. That's how I met Mel. And she was just starting off at that stage, so it was all new, and all new to me too. But that was it. I absolutely just fell in love with hiking. It has been such a gift to me. I started a little there was about 70 people on the WhatsApp, but I can't remember now, it was probably 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I sat down one evening and I was like, I never have time to see people socially. Like, I've friends in all different spots, and there's never, unless it's a birthday or something, I never get to see them, you know. So I thought, I'll put everybody I know into one group chat, and I just sent a message saying, I will be at this place at this time every week, rain, hail, snow, you know. If you want to come, come. If you don't, you don't need excuses. You don't, you know what I mean? Just if you don't want to go, just don't turn up. I will not be doing a roll call. If you're there, you're there, and we'll go, and if you're not, we won't. And we met for a hike every Tuesday morning, and that went on for, I have stopped the weekly ones just temporarily while work is so busy, but we did that every week through lockdowns, through everything, when we were allowed to. Lockdowns, obviously not not at the height of it, but it was just this lovely kind of lovely non-committal group mainly sort of stay-at-home mums. And it was a lovely space to bond and for people to get out and to kind of share their worries. It was kind of like group therapy, but not officially. And so, yeah, that was like another lovely benefit of hiking, was that it was a really easy way to bring people together and to just catch up with people that you wouldn't normally see so frequently, you know. And it has changed my life, really.
Yeah. It's such a common thing. Like, just it's happened so much. Like, Mel, I suppose, has been like a really, really good story of success here, where she was, you know, and she'll hopefully she has no problem with me saying this, but she got into hiking for the same reasons, you know, a lot of us do. It was because of her mental health, and she wanted a way to kind of get out there and kind of think these things through, or just to escape, you know.
Yeah.
And then she kind of found a realization, much like you did, in that, oh, hang on a second, I can do this with other people and turn it into a bit of a thing that I can do, you know, professionally. And you're starting to see that happen a lot more now, not just in Ireland, over in the UK. In the last 2 weeks or so, I think I've spoken to about three different groups, very similar to Gals Gone Wild, or, you know, in that way, in that same kind of shape.
Yeah.
Just in the UK. And there's probably countless of those that have just sprung up in the last 2 years because of the explosion of hiking and the outdoors, which is just, it's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, it really is. I think lockdown as well, so many people discovered hiking when we couldn't go anywhere. You know, if you had the mountains on your doorstep, it was the perfect place to escape to. Actually, I ended up seeing lizards. I didn't even know we had lizards in Ireland, but like during lockdown when it was so quiet up in Tiknock, the little Irish, I can't remember what the name of them are, but like, yeah, apparently we do have lizards, and they were up there in lockdown, like scurrying around, you know. It's crazy. I haven't seen them since now, and the things have gotten busier, but
I did actually see, I went up Lug na Cuile. It was like one of the first, or like I did a couple of training hikes beforehand, but I went up Lug na Cuile one day, and it was a scorching hot day, and I saw a little lizard scurry across a rock. I was like, oh my god, because I listened to I don't know if you listened to Blind Boy Bo Cull.
I love him.
Yeah,
I am obsessed with him. I recommend him to clients. Yeah, he's just brilliant.
So if anyone's listened to this and you haven't listened to Blind Boy, I'll give you a really quick rundown of who he is, what he does. He's a man from Limerick, County Limerick, Ireland, who wears a plastic spar bag, shopping bag on his head, and talks into a microphone about mental health. Yeah. But no, that's an injustice. It is a fantastic show. He has great interviews. But I remember just before, it was like a week beforehand, Blind Boy was actually talking about the Irish lizard in his show. Yeah. And it was the week next, I was like, oh my god, it actually happened.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing to see. There's so many people out, and so many groups of people out, both women and men as well. Like, I'm seeing more men. Connor as well, mutual friend.
Yeah.
He started his group, and there's more kind of, just men just getting out and getting out together. And it's not about machoness. It's not about anything. It's camaraderie. It's friends, and it is kind of group therapy in a way.
Yeah, and men talking about their mental health, that's quite a new thing as well, you know, and a very needed thing. It's, you know, it's not that women were having these big open conversations about our mental health before, but we did talk and share the kind of what we were going through. We might have named it, but it's lovely to see men being more vocal about what's actually going on for them, what they're feeling, and being okay with not being fine all the time. You know, it's, I love to see that. And it's, I do think it's an area that could use more support. Mm. You know, I think it could use more hiking therapists, or more, you know, people who provide the services in a space that feels easier for, you know, people who might feel a bit uncomfortable to access.
Absolutely. And I, even just speaking for myself, you know, since I've gotten into hiking and leaned more and more into hiking, I find myself much more able to name what's going on in my head, name what I'm feeling, talk about these things, and being honest with people, but being honest with myself, and not masking, and not trying to be somebody else, or not trying to posture or anything like that. And I see that with my friends as well. So when myself and the Pete and Paul from Hiker, we normally every week we get up in the morning, really early in the morning, crack of dawn, and we go and hike somewhere. And that is a kind of it's a mixture of work and therapy. Like, so we get out, we talk about like all the issues and things that we need to fix in the company and fixing the apps and the website and all that kind of stuff. But we also kind of like it's an opportunity for us to kind of go, what's going on in our lives, lads? You know, and it's not in a pub. We're not just drinking a pint, or we're not, you know, on a Zoom call. We're not doing it like that. We're actually out in nature and we're enjoying it. So it really stands to.
That's it. Yeah. And you can leave it there. I say that sometimes to clients, if they're dealing with something in particular, you know, and we're talking about it, and I'm like, well, can we leave it here? You know, literally, can we leave this issue here for you? Because it's done now, you know, it's finished. Obviously not at the start of an issue, but, you know, can we send it off into the wind? You know, it's a good place to just let it all out when, you know, when you're free and it's, and there's no one to see it. And, you know, it's, it's just a very freeing space. I think everyone, we all need to get a bit more into the outdoors. We all need to disconnect and get off the screens. And I'm a devil for that, so I can't talk. But
look, everybody is. It's like, you know, I'm just as bad as the next person. Like, I'm on my phone a horrendous amount every single day. But I suppose the important thing is not to be too hard on yourself.
Yes, that was a very therapist-y thing to say.
Can I be in Hikes Like Ireland?
You just need to go back and do a whole heap of training.
That's no problem.
Sorry. happy to have you.
I wanted to ask you about what's the future for Hikes Like Ireland?
It's funny because I kind of started it not really having any idea if it would even work, you know. It's and then you sort of are suddenly in it, and I have a huge wait list, and I've as many clients as I can kind of manage while managing a family. And I would love to grow the business. I would love to have people working in, you know, Galway or Cork or, you know, everywhere, Limerick. I really need to sit down and talk to somebody who knows how to do these things, because I'm a good therapist, but I have no idea if I'd be any good as an actual business person. So I think stick to your strengths, and when you don't know how to do something, ask people who do know. That's probably a safer bet. But yeah, I would love to expand the business at some point. I would love to get people out. I do find the thing about therapy and hiring therapists, it's really difficult to know if a therapist is good or not unless you've been a client, you know. Right. And even at that, you could be the best therapist in the world for a particular client, and you might not work at all for another client, and that's absolutely fine and that's normal, you know. I always say that to clients after they've had a first session. I'll say, don't tell me if you want to rebook now. Sleep on it, see how you feel tomorrow, and if you don't, that's completely fine. Do you know what I mean? It has to work for the client. That it, there's no point in them coming because they don't want to upset me. Do you know what I mean? Not every therapist is for every client, but I think if you have people working for you, or they're working under this little thing that you've built, you know, it's scary that you kind of don't know what's going on in sessions, you know. So I think I'll have to loosen the reins at some point. If I'm going to take people out, I'll have to stop being so precious.
it's the same as anything. Like, it, once you kind of build something to a point and you want to keep it growing, you do have to let go and, you know, just as you said, loosen the reins. Like, we struggle with that sometimes ourselves, you know, when we're trying to like let somebody else write the content, or let someone else write the code, or let someone else do the thing, and you're kind of like, please do a good job.
it's scary, you know. And I just get so involved. That's going to make me sound really bad as a therapist to any other therapist listening, but like, I care very deeply about my clients. You know, they're more than just somebody who pays me to you know, for a service. And so, you know, you become invested in that. You want them to do well. I often say, sometimes in therapy, you get people who've come for a long time and then they stop coming, which is great. You want people to not need to come anymore, you know. But when they don't tell you they're finishing, it's like watching a movie from the start and suddenly, like 20 minutes from the end, it stops and you never get to find out what happened. It's horrible. So yeah, it's, you know, it's just important, I think, that if anyone was that was working with me, that they would care as much. You know, I think that's essential, and that's something I would be looking for if anyone was going to come and join me on the trails, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So would you consider then doing more kind of like further afield trails and hikes yourself for this, or for yourself?
Oh, for myself, definitely. For this, I don't know. It's kind of like 50 minutes of therapy is heavy going. You know, I think maybe for group work, that might be something. And I'm training as an intuitive eating counselor as well. I have sort of specialist training in eating disorders. But I think once you have recovered from the eating disorder, then finding a framework that works for you outside of that, like intuitive eating, is very helpful. So I thought that might be something that would be better, so that I could do that in groups. Mm-hmm. But yeah, group therapy, I don't know. It's I don't know how I'd manage that on the trails. Actually, someone I offered online therapy for couples, but I had been asked by a couple of couples, would I do it on the trails? And I was like, no way. I don't want two people fighting on a trail. Like, there's too many rocks. Like, oh no, she fell. She did not fall.
You know? Yeah.
It's like, you have to be careful about these things too. But no, personally, yeah, I'm dying to get out and do some more hikes around the country. I was in Donegal, did the Sliabh League and Mount Errigal there a few months ago, and I'm heading to Achill as well with the group of friends, because I've always wanted to go, and I'm dying to hike the actual highest sea cliffs, even though up in Sliabh League they tell you in Donegal that they're that
highest. and then Cliffs Moher also tell you that as well at the same time.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose those are the sort of steep ones, aren't they? But they're not nearly as high as the other ones. But yeah, there's loads of places I'd love to hike, but it's just time, you know. I'd love to sign up for like Kilimanjaro or something like that, but when, like, I have small kids, there's no chance my husband's gonna jump in for 14 days of non-stop parenting, you know.
Yeah, because my question I was going to ask you there was, would you consider doing a long distance hiking trail, like a multi-day hiking trail? And then the second question would have been, would you consider doing a therapy session over multiple days?
Oh God, like, yeah, intense therapy. Jeez. I don't mean, I suppose I'd consider it. I'd love to do some of the long, I'd love to do the Wicklow Way, you know, as a starting from the home base, like, but it's time, you know. And that's the thing with clients as well. Once you make a commitment, I remember them saying this to us when we were training, but once you commit to seeing a client, it's like a marriage. You have to be there until they're finished. You can't, it's not the kind of thing where you can take someone on and be like, oh, listen, I'm heading away for 3 months, you know, and drop them. You just can't do that, you know. They need consistency, you know. Not all of them, some of them will be completely fine, they'd be wishing you well, you know, but you can't take big chunks of time off. It's not really conducive to good recovery. So for the minute, yeah, I'm stuck, but maybe at some point in the future I'll try, and or I'll do it in sections, you know.
Yeah. I ask all the guests on this a couple of questions, kind of putting you on the spot here as well. what does hiking mean to you?
Oh gosh, for me it's disconnection, it's headspace, it's just that ability to go somewhere where there's no demands on me at all. There's nothing, there's just me and the trail and fresh air. And I love that. I love, and I'm a total phone addict. So for me to say I love being disconnected sounds strange, but I absolutely love being somewhere where you have no signal and wandering off and getting lost and just being me. The truest version of me on my own in the hills. I love that. That's hiking for me.
It's funny because there's disconnection, where you're disconnecting from the real world, and then there's also
connection
because you're connecting to the real world.
But that's absolutely it. Yeah, I think wasn't your guest last week, Dragon Sky, was saying, it's disconnecting from the Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Someone who plugged that thing out of the back of your head, and now you're all of a sudden you're realizing how beautiful the world actually is, and you get that. I feel sometimes like when I'm hiking, I don't know if you run at all, but I do a bit of running, and I've experienced runner's high, and runner's high is just this beautiful feeling of kind of flow. And sometimes I've actually got that while hiking as well.
Yeah, I absolutely get that hiking. A good view will do that for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, have you learned anything about, I suppose, what's the biggest lesson that hiking has taught you? Sometimes I frame that as what have you learned about your country, but sometimes it's what have you learned about yourself, or what have you learned about other people?
Oh, well, yeah, as a hiking therapist, I've learned loads about other people.
Yes, of course. But
I suppose what I learned and what led to hikes, like, really, is that people open up, people feel safer when they're out in nature. It is more natural to speak in that way, and the way our brains work is better when we're in a natural environment. It is calmer, it is more centered. You have to be present, like I was saying before, because you will fall if you're not paying attention. You can't be in a nonstop anxious state and walk up a slippy, rocky path, you know, at the same time. You just can't do it. So that's the main thing. I think it's just that you are present and there and in the moment and of the moment, and people feel safer in that space doing what they're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, Cara, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. It's been really, really interesting. I'm sure we could talk we'll talk for a couple of minutes after this.
I know. First podcast ever.
You did say that to me. Well, I'm glad that it went so well.
Thank you.
Seriously, thank you so much for coming on and shedding some light on the world of hike psychology. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and look forward to seeing the growth of Hike Psych Ireland and Hike Psych International.
There you go. You need to get training now so you can join me.
Yeah.
Because you're not busy enough already.
No. All right, Cara. Thanks you so much.
Thanks, Owen.
And that's it for another week of the Hiker Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have been affected by anything that was brought up in this show, please do reach out to Cara or to somebody, a professional. Reach out to a professional, and as I said at the start, talk to a friend, talk to somebody you trust. This will be the last for a couple of weeks. I just have a bunch of interviews that I need to record and to edit and to publish, along with everything else. So there will be a couple of weeks break now for the Hiker Podcast, but we have 34 other episodes to go back and listen to if you have not listened to them yet. So until then, happy trails.